All right, as we open up God's word today, we're going to continue going through the Beatitudes at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So if you'd like to open up to Matthew 5, we'll begin there today. We'll be focusing on verse 8. So I'll give you a moment to find that. Matthew 5, verse 8. Recalling that this is kind of a foundational sermon of Jesus where he lays out his view of the kingdom of God and what it means to be part of that. So Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And that phrase, pure in heart, is one of those that it really takes a moment to digest, to really sit with for a moment and ask, what does this really mean? What does it mean to be pure in heart? So the word for pure there refers to something that is unmixed, clean, or untainted. So picture a glass of pure, clean water versus one that has dirt or other chemicals mixed into it. A pure heart is one that is not tainted with other things. It brings spiritual clarity, just as a pure glass of water is more clear than a muddy one. A pure heart is fully devoted to God. It's not tainted with other influences as well. And that promise to see God is fulfilled in the clarity that comes from having a heart that is pure and unclouded with other things. Now, in contrast to this, the Apostle James describes someone whose heart is not pure. So let's read that from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Find it. My goodness. There we go. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." So James is describing here somebody who doubts God's wisdom, who goes and prays to God, but then goes, I don't know, should I trust in that? There's other influences that are coming in, calling into question what God says, and so he doubts. He's like a wave, the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Paul talks about being tossed around by the waves of culture. So James is describing a similar thing. This person is not pure of heart. They're double-minded. They're concerned with other things that cast doubt on God's wisdom. So a person who is pure of heart simply knows to trust God. Their heart would be so devoted to him that they would think, well, where else would I turn? Who else would I listen to? That's the sign of a pure heart. It's not tainted with faith in anything or anyone else. So the ancient Israelites struggled with this as soon as Moses led them out of slavery. They had been crying out to God to free them from Egypt. And then God sent Moses. And as soon as they left Egypt and things got difficult, they began to complain and said life would be better back in Egypt. Their hearts were tainted with other devotions, a desire for other things. They were divided between God and their own desires. Just this week, I was reading in the book of Numbers how the hearts of some of the Israelites became divided just as they were nearing the promised land. And I'm going to read what I read there. The book of Numbers, this is Numbers 25, 1 through 3. So they were approaching the promised land and they had settled down for a little while. And it says that while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices of their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and God's anger burned against them. So their devotion to the Lord was not so pure that they were untainted by these other influences. They were influenced by the women and the idols that they offered them because they had impure hearts. So what are the things that taint our devotion to God? He wants us to be able to truly see him and know him, but our vision is clouded over when our hearts are not pure. And there are so many different influences all around us trying to convince us to believe in them and follow them. There are different desires embedded in our hearts that can cast doubt on God and make it difficult to truly see him and hear from him. One of the first things I think about when I think about those external influences is all the different media sources out there that try to inform our lives, whether it's books and TV or podcasts, social media. You know, we live in this information age. We're just overwhelmed with information all the time. And all of those seem to not only be there to provide us with information to consider, to give us knowledge to apply to our lives, they want to convince us that their perspective and their conclusions are absolute truth, that we should listen to no one but them. We end up placing our trust in certain media sources because they present us things in a way that appeal to our way of thinking without realizing that the purity of our hearts is being tested in those moments. Are we quick to believe the narratives that we're presented with that so often paint one perspective as righteous and honorable and true and any other perspective as false and evil and dishonorable? Or have we come to trust in God's wisdom so much that we take whatever we're given to him first and ask him for clarity, ask him to expand our understanding and give us a better perspective and to give us the character of Christ and how we process what we take in from the world? That is a step toward purifying our hearts, not letting those other influences take control and tell us what to think and how to behave. Now, these external influences, whether it's media or people we look up to or social pressures, are all really just there to expose something deeper, the desires of our own heart. That's truly where the impurities get in. Those desires mix in and dilute our devotion to God. These are the things that we want out of life, the way we want to be known, the way we think the world should be. All of those different kinds of desires tend to cloud the purity of our hearts. So let's consider for a moment some of those internal things that might be competing for your devotion to Jesus. There's a few that I came up with that might include your ideas of what success in life looks like. Do you cling to some idea about this is how I know that I have arrived, that I have gained these things, I've done those things, things that make you feel secure? Well, what if God leads you to let go of those ideas? Or those just don't become fulfilled? What then of your life? Or I think about your desires for what relationships in life ought to look like, how your spouse should be, what your friends should act like, how your children should behave, the kind of interactions we ought to be having. What do you do if they're not turning out the way that you want them to be? Are you so committed to this is the way it ought to be that you sabotage those relationships, even if God leads you into them? If you make commitments to him in those, do they affect your ability to pursue what God wants for your life? Do we follow some other person because we're so committed to them, or do we follow the Lord, just like those people in Israel did? Or I think about your ideas about who God is. Are you willing to accept what the Bible says, or do you feel you need to hold on to other ideas or even incorporate ideas from other places to form your idea, your image of who God should be? What if those ideas conflict, or if God says, that's not who I am? Do we let go of our own expectations of God, our own desires of God, and let him form and shape us? Sometimes it can be hard to grasp that that's what's going on until we take some time to really see what we're holding on to. You might ask, are there certain possessions you feel you need to have in life? Is there a certain identity you need to maintain in order to think you are acceptable? These are all the kinds of desires that are embedded in our heart that might keep us from truly being devoted to the Lord. They cloud our image of him because we want them so bad that if God seems to be leading us elsewhere, we're stuck. We walk away from him. I want to give us a moment to think about this together as a group and to share your insights. What are some of the things that come to your mind? When you think about a cloud, the desires that cloud our hearts, what are some of the things that we might cling to in life that prevent us from truly being devoted to the Lord? Possessions can often be a big one. I have to have these things. Your mindset. What do you mean by mindset? The attitude that you have? Yeah. You must have this kind of attitude and mindset. Anything else that you can think of? Fear of what other people think is a big one. Yeah. So we put on an image for those people instead of being who God tells us to be. Lynn? The fear of missing out, another big one, yeah.
Wanting to have other people like you.
Wanting to have other people like you. Yeah, right? Yeah, you're right. Fear of what people think is one thing, but then wanting to have other people, the things that will, the extent that we would go to make sure people like us can be, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's similar to the mindset. We know that this is the way things are. This is the truth. Are we malleable? Do we allow God to shape us enough to change those things? Are we coachable? Yeah. Are we humble? Yeah. And that's what a lot of this is. Are you humble enough to let God say, no, that's not part of me. That's not what I want for you. And sometimes this can be hard because God may be leading you down a path that he's not leading most people down. I think that's true of a lot of us. Each of us probably has a path that God's saying, go this way, when everyone else around us is going somewhere else, even our Christian brothers and sisters. And we're like, wait, but God, what about, why can't I be with them? He goes, no, I want you to do this for me. Be this for me. Are you sure? Are you sure, God? Yeah. Yeah, God's always sure. Yeah. I mean, it's good for us to just take some time to discern if we're hearing God's voice. But if it's clear God's saying do this, then is our heart pure enough to say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, wherever you tell me to go, I will follow you. These desires compete with our devotion to the Lord. All of us have these mixed devotions like this. And part of our training and growth as disciples of Christ is to recognize those other things that we become devoted to as God reveals them to us and learn how to release them. And that's how I see this purifying process, just letting go of things that we cling to. We don't always recognize they're there. I was thinking as I was writing this how we don't have to fear that God's going to just dump it all on us. Here's all the things wrong with you. Deal with it right now and get your heart pure. He's gentle with us. He'll give you what you can deal with. But he's going to reveal some impurities in our hearts and call us to address those things. You can visualize these desires as something that you have in your hand and you hold it out to God. And think about the way you hold out your desires. Do you hold on to it like this with a closed fist saying, okay, God, this is what I want. Make sure that he doesn't take it away from you. As though we have that power, right? But we hold it like, no, God, I'm going to hang on to this. Is it clenched so that no one can take it? If that's the way you're holding on to that desire, then that's likely clouding your devotion to the Lord. It's going to cause some conflict with your ability to trust him and to see him clearly. But if you can hold it with an open hand and invite God to take it if that's his will, then you've reached the point of purity in your heart with that desire. Holding it out doesn't mean that God will take it away. It just means that you're willing to let him if he wants to. And it demonstrates your willingness to go where Jesus leads and do what God says, even if it means you can't have that thing. Holding our deepest beliefs and desires out to God with an open hand can feel incredibly risky. That's the challenge we face with these things. It's a vulnerable act of humility and submission. And in a world that tells us that we need to fight for what we want, we need to assert our rights, we need to hold on so we don't miss out, this, holding out your open hand, feels like the last thing you would want to do with those things. Because we're going to fear losing out. We're going to fear getting walked on. We're going to fear being taken advantage of or being left with nothing. But that's what God's addressing with us when he calls us to purify our hearts. This is the key to understanding the vision of life Jesus invites us into. The blessing of being able to see God and to know he is here, to follow where he leads and experience what he has to offer, far exceeds anything the world has to offer. Jesus says in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy he goes out and sells all he has to buy that field, to get the treasure. Just think about that. The kingdom of God, the ability to see God, is far more valuable than anything we can get from this world. And yet, we cling to those things because we fear losing them. If we can understand what God offers is so much greater, we might actually be willing to open up our hand to him. The reward of clarity we receive with a pure heart is an eternal treasure that causes all the temporary fears to fall away. And this clarity allows us to see what really matters, the grace and the goodness of God. Psalm 118:6 declares, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Purity of heart gives you that kind of clarity in your walk in life. Who cares what anyone else says or does or thinks about me? But God is for me and with me. Nothing else matters. It's important to contrast these fears that we have with the promise that comes from a pure heart. Again, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What an awesome and amazing gift that is to see God. This is a promise that shows that God is available to us for close and personal connection. Now, he can seem hidden and distant at times, I know, and people may even ask, if God is spirit, how can we possibly see him? But God makes himself visible to us in a number of different ways. We know this. He offers himself freely. He wants to be known. God doesn't hide himself away, trying not to be seen. He makes himself freely known to all people, but we need to learn how to see him. And it's through purifying our hearts that we clear out the debris that's blocking our view of him. And we learn to see him more clearly. Romans 1:20 is another passage I want to read that where the Apostle Paul writes about one of the ways that God can be seen by all people. So let me find that. Romans 1, verse 20. This might be familiar to some of you. It says, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And this is really a powerful statement. This is what theologians refer to as God's general revelation. He has made himself known through his creation to all people. Anyone, if they really examine the world around them, have no excuse for not saying, God has made this. For not understanding that there is a God. That's what Paul talks about. We're without excuse. But then he goes on and says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. They had other things they were devoted to. And their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, good picture of what it means to have an impure heart. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fool and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Our spiritual sight becomes clouded by these idolatrous desires, is really what they are. We may not make idols very often in our culture today, worshiping statues of things, but we still have idols. That's what those devotions are. Things that we glorify greater than we glorify God. It's important to recognize them. And the blessing of seeing God comes as we cleanse our hearts from those things. As our hearts become more pure, we not only begin to see what God has created, those invisible qualities that he's made apparent in nature, not only become more visible to us, we start to see him at work in our lives. We see him at work in the lives of others, and we recognize his character as he works within us. As our devotion to God becomes more pure, we can distinguish his voice among all the different inner voices that speak to us in our hearts and minds. Begin to recognize his voice above all those. As we gain clarity in our hearts, we can see who God is as we read in his word. The Bible no longer becomes a collection of ancient writings, but the very word of God speaking into your life, forming you into the person God desires you to be. That comes with clarity in our hearts. And as the fullness of our trust in Jesus grows, we begin to discern his presence with us throughout our lives. You can come to the point of recognizing God is with you always. And that is a powerful blessing, to see him in everything. This is how the blessing of seeing God comes about, through the purity of our hearts. As we clear out those things, our vision becomes less clouded. We see him in more and more ways. We know he is near. So I want to call us today to examine the purity of our hearts. And I don't want to just leave here with these ideas in mind and saying, hey, that's great. But rather to leave with a purpose and an intent to purify our devotion to Jesus. And remember, this is just a process that Jesus joins us on throughout our lives. He's calling you to just take the next step today. So right now, I want you to think about one of those things that you may be holding on to like this with a closed fist. What is one thing in your life that maybe God is bringing to your mind this morning where you're going, I can't let go of this, God. I gotta have it. I fear letting go of this, Lord. Can you identify one thing? Maybe it's something you fear losing, desire that pulls you away from God. And I'm just going to give us a moment of silence here just to be alone with God right now and just acknowledge that with him. Just acknowledge it today, and maybe even take the step and say, okay, God, I'm going to open my palm up. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to close my eyes, invite you to do the same. And let's just take a moment of silence to take that time alone with God. I'm going to call us back together now. Maybe you need more time. Maybe that was enough, but I encourage you to continue this exploration with the Lord. Know that the change isn't going to be immediate. If you said to the Lord, okay, I'm going to open up my hand to you, you're not going to walk out on here necessarily and be immediately changed. There might be some work that God has to do. You might go, I'm not so sure, Lord. Continue to work on it. Finding these things, even just identifying these things and holding them out to God, is a powerful act of worship. An acknowledgement that he is Lord and you want to be fully devoted to him. It's a step of faith toward purifying your heart even more so that you are better able to see him and to know him and to follow Jesus fully devoted. As you continue to take the steps, you will experience the rich blessing that Jesus promised of seeing God in new and unexpected ways. You will see him more clearly all around you, throughout his word, and in the way he is within you and around you. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The more you can see him, the more everything else pales in comparison. God gives us this gift freely for all who would purify their hearts. May we continue to purify so that we may see God. Let's pray. Give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we do thank you that you make yourself known to us. You're all around us. You make yourself visible to us in so many ways through your character, through your actions. Help us to see you more clearly, Lord. Help us to purify our hearts. I pray that you would bless all of us here, all those who can't be here with us now, or that we may see you more clearly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.